Welcome to Adult Siblings Versus, a podcast where a grown-ass brother and sister put aside their childhood rivalry in order to review nostalgic pieces of pop culture. I'm your co-host, Jason S. Leverett.
And I'm your other co-host, Ariel Leverett.
So, hilariously, Ariel, it occurred to me this week that I actually have not watched an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in many, many years.
I wish I could say the same, but I definitely have a partner who has made me watch Total Recall multiple times, Running Man once, but it could be more if he had his druthers, and then some other one that I can't remember what it was. Oh. But yeah.
Well, it's just that I don't think I've seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in, like, certainly not in my 30s, except for Terminator and Terminator 2. Oh, you know what? That's not true, because we watched at least one Terminator movie together, and I definitely watched... Oh. This is Terminator Genesis, and I watched...
Oh, yes. Old Man Terminator.
Yeah. Those are both
Old Man Terminator. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have not seen...
Matt Smith Terminator. I was just talking about how, like, that was the only Terminator I've ever seen.
My point is, I guess, is that I don't remember watching Arnold Schwarzenegger movies from, like, the late 80s, early 90s, anytime recently, except for the two movies where he's playing a robot and doesn't have emotions. I don't think I ever realized how charismatic Schwarzenegger is on the camera. Because, like, I always think about, like, Dwayne Johnson and, like, how his main claim to fame as an action hero is that he's just so damn charismatic and just bleeds through all his performances. But I realized when watching what we're watching today that Schwarzenegger kind of had that same sort of swagger, and I never realized it. And I was just picturing all the people making fun of Schwarzenegger, the bad impressions. I didn't even think about, like, the actual person. And you know what? I liked this. I liked him. I like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anyway, that concludes the most positive thing I have to say about Lax Action Hero, which is what we're watching today.
Well, I think it, like, I mean, he's a successful action star for a reason. You get caught up in the caricature, but, like, I mean, there was a reason why he had so many movies. So
yeah, I just didn't think about it. But Lax Action Hero is what we're doing today, which is probably a bad movie to judge Schwarzenegger's star power in, as this was actually a satire/parody. So maybe not. But then again, you know, well, I'll talk about more about Schwarzenegger's performance later. But this is a movie that we watched as kids. I loved this movie as a child. Not only was it easily my favorite Schwarzenegger movie, it was the only Schwarzenegger movie that I actually liked, as I didn't like any of his other movies. This was the one that I thought was the gold standard of what all action movies should be like. Then I watched it this week, and I was like, this movie's fucking stupid. So, that's not great.
I feel like that makes sense. Of course, your, like, young boy brain was like, this is great. Because, like, this is the movie that has, like, the young boy avatar in it. Like, it's the one that you could place yourself in. So, of course, this would be, like, as a kid... Of course, this would be something that you would totally be into. That totally makes sense.
Yeah, I think I was 8 years old when this movie came out.
So kind of like probably like the prime age for you to be 100% into this movie.
I mean, you say that, but this movie is definitely rated PG-13. I didn't have any business watching this film.
But honestly, they say it's PG-13. Upon watching, when they said that, I was really like, really?
Yeah, because they say a lot of swears. Including an F-bomb. They do say an F-bomb in this movie, even though they make a joke. It was like in the back half of the movie. It was just kind of a random one.
I don't even remember. I watched it twice, and I don't remember them dropping an F-bomb.
Did I just make that up? I don't know. I didn't watch it twice. Anyway, they do say a lot of shits and some bitches and words you can't say in a PG movie.
I guess. It's still, oh, like, man. It's on the mild side of the movie.
I can't remember what he said. But, like, I had the subtitles on, and the police chief said some real dirty shit in, like, that time where he's, like, yelling at Schwarzenegger and the kid, but you can't tell what he's saying because he's just so mad. He's like, rah, 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 rah. So we had the subtitles on. You can see a lot of what he's saying, and it is not PG friendly at all.
Oh, that's funny. I never think of turning on the subtitles for Snap.
Oh, this is a Schwarzenegger movie. This was definitely the time to do it. All right. So we're gonna talk about Last Action Hero. I actually found some interesting things about this film I do want to talk about. But before we get into it, just want to remind everybody, if you want to help us grow the podcast, you know, the best way to do that is by word of mouth, letting your folks know what's going on. The second best way is to use a magic ticket to go into movies and then tell the people in the movies to talk about our podcast. And then suddenly we've got movie advertisement.
And also, you know, engage with us on the interwebs. We had someone comment on our Facebook page about how he totally forgotten how like awful the Little Rascal movie was. It's great. Like, engage with us. We love it. We'll respond to you. We wanna see your opinion on these movies if you get a chance to rewatch them, or just kind of think about them and you're just like, oh yeah, I loved this, or yeah, I did rewatch this and it destroyed my childhood. We want to hear about it.
So you can talk to us on Facebook. You can also email us at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com, and you can tweet at us at adultversus on Twitter. And then also, you know, leaving some sort of 5-star/equivalent on your podcaster of choice for the podcast greatly helps the algorithm. The more of those 5-star reviews or equivalent that we get, the more likely the algorithm on all those different podcasters will put us in front of new people when making suggestions. So it helps us out a lot if you do that. We really appreciate it. All right, so Last Action Hero. Ariel, I've kind of told you a little bit about my thoughts on it, but what about you? You are a good chunk younger than me. What is your memory of Last Action Hero from when we were kids?
I remember that I liked it. I didn't remember much about this movie. For some reason, the thing that like stuck with me the most, something, something tar pit and the gunshot room, Jack's gunshot wound and trying to get him back into the movie. Those were like the two things that I remembered, and I remembered nothing else. So
yeah, I was surprised how little I remembered about this film. I remember Sylvester Stallone as the Terminator. And I remember just the dynamic of things, and I remember that the villain had glass eyes.
I think I remember the glass eye thing. I think I remember being quite disturbed by that.
I didn't remember he was actually, like, somebody's lackey. I completely forgotten that. Or didn't know. But there's really a good chance a lot of these plot points were over my head.
Sure.
Because as much as you say that I was the right age, I really feel that my brain was not processing a lot of the stuff in this film the way that it was. That would have been to get the full sting. But then again, this movie was half-baked, so whatever.
I just think it's like a good age to just be blindly into it.
Yeah. Yeah, a good age to not have any taste and therefore be super into a really bad parody of a genre that you don't even like that much.
Oh boy.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this movie. So Last Action Hero is a 1993 film that was directed by John McTiernan, screenplay by Shane Black and David Arnott, and then story by Zach Penn and Adam Leff. Put a pin in that part. So the budget of this film was $85 million. It's a pretty substantial number. The gross was $137.3 million, which, when you take in consideration the advertisement budget for this film, that's a failure. That is a failure. Like, the general rule of thumb is to double the budget, and that's the actual budget of the film. So if that's the case, that's a pretty big failure. And in fact, I actually have the studio's information. They actually said that this movie was a $26 million loss. So this was definitely a bomb. I normally don't have like the studios actually saying what their loss was when I do this. I was surprised to find that. But The Last Action Hero is actually a notorious bomb, and I will go into some of the reasons why in a little bit. But
I feel like I know at least one reason.
Maybe. The film did do better on home video and became a bit of a cult classic, which is why anyone even thinks about this movie anymore. At the time, real bad. All right. So this movie was conceived and originally developed by Zach Penn and Adam Leff. They were trying to write a script that was a satire of action movies, and they cited Shane Black movies. They cited Shane Black movies as the type of films that they were trying to parody. Now, Ariel, I'm not 100% certain of your knowledge on Shane Black, but Shane Black is kind of he's a very famous screenwriter who had a lot of success in the 80s and 90s before becoming more of a full-time director in the 2000s. For our point of view, the most important thing he's done is that he directed Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
However, he wrote the screenplay to Lethal Weapon, The Monster Squad, which is a movie that I don't think either of us have any nostalgia for, even though people our age and a little older love it. And then he also directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That was his directorial debut. That's the movie that really brought Robert Downey Jr. back to Hollywood after his exile due to his issues. Mm-hmm. Had that movie not happened, Iron Man would not have starred Robert Downey Jr. But Lethal Weapon, his involvement with the Lethal Weapon franchise is probably the big thing that they are parroting, to be perfectly frank. And a lot of the tropes that we associate with the genre of like rogue cops and action comedies came directly from Lethal Weapon, which was done by Shane Black. So kind of funny. It's funny because Shane Black was brought in to rewrite the script later. They're trying to parody him, and they ended up having the movie be written by him. Kind of weird. Anywho, but the original story was actually supposed to be, I don't know how serious it was supposed to be, but probably more serious than what we got. Apparently, the script was more about, you know, commenting on the violence that the hero perpetrates in his quest to save the day and how that sort of thing affects the people closest to him. It was supposed to be a little bit more, how should I put this? It was supposed to have a point where Last Action Hero does not have a point, but the original version of the script apparently had something to say. Also, no magic. That was an invention of later rewrites. In fact, the Penn and Leff were not super happy about the addition of a magic ticket in the screen.
Sure.
In the screenplay. But yeah, the studio ended up bringing in David Arnott and then Shane Black, ironically, to rewrite the script. And then from there, they actually had a bunch of script doctors to come in and take a look, including Carrie Fisher. This is one of hers. By the time they had something ready to film, it bore so little resemblance to the original script that Penn and Leff had their credits downgraded from screenplay by to story by. So I don't know what the original version of Last Action Hero would have looked like, but whatever it was, it did not look like what we got. As I said, this movie was a huge bomb in theaters. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. And in fact, there's a lot of weird things that went down in this film. This is a legendary bomb, and there's been a lot of like academia written about the whys, but I'd say that there's two major reasons why this bombed. Three, if you count the second one as two separate things. But first, this movie was hindered by terrible word of mouth. Like, the reviews were not very good to start with, and people just were not enjoying it. So that apparently really hurt it. But the bigger reason is that Last Action Hero came out.
Ooh, can I do it? Can I do it? Because I think I know.
Okay.
Is it because of Jurassic Park?
Yes, was because of Jurassic Park, partially. Jurassic Park opened the week before Last Action Hero. But you know what came out the week after Last Action Hero?
Ooh, what?
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, see, yeah.
So
no matter which part of things you enjoy, this you have a better movie to watch.
Well, it's like Jurassic Park at the time, most successful movie of all time, and then Sleepless in Seattle, a major hit. That movie made over $200 million on like a $23 million budget, so that just killed Last Action Hero. So that was a bad time to release The Last Action Hero, even though Last Action Hero had that slot first before Jurassic Park. But as soon as Jurassic Park got announced, they should have pushed it back. In fact, supposedly, this is what Schwarzenegger says. He claims that he tried to convince the other producers on the film to push the release back, but they refused, apparently because they were like saying some Hollywood bullshit like, every weekend we don't put this out is millions of dollars of revenue lost. And seeing as how they lost $26 million in this, I'm curious to know if any of them did a little foghorn after the initial month in this theater. But yeah, there's also like some issues where like they were apparently editing down to the wire. Like they apparently had Siskel and Ebert do a screening, and they said it was like, this movie feels like it's 10 minutes too long, and so they edited it out 10 minutes between that and when the movie was actually released, which would not have been a very large amount of time. So this is pretty, sounds like it's a pretty rushed job, and everything could have been made a little better if they just pushed it back later in the summer, but they're stubborn. Sometimes this happens, you know, there's a date and some producers do not want to change it no matter what. This happens in video games too. Like very recently there was a video game called Cyberpunk 2077 scheduled for, it got pushed back a couple of times, but it settled on a December release, and the game was absolutely not finished by the time that they released an unfinished, unpolished garbage game. And they knew they were doing it, but they refused to not put it out because they felt that they would lose more money by pushing it back, like, than by releasing an unfinished game. And this sounds very similar to that.
Ridiculous.
Cyberpunk 2077 actually made a good amount of profit. So they were more successful than The Last Action Hero. A lot of things were more successful than Last Action Hero, to be frank. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about what happens in the film itself. Now, Ariel, I was trying to watch the film, but this creepy guy gave me a magic ticket, and I actually got sucked into the movie. And it turns out that my adventures with Jack Slater were actually pretty different than what the actual movie was. Actually, I spent most of the time hanging out with that guy's mom. Mm-hmm. So can you just like tell us what actually happens in the movie for the parts that I wasn't around for?
Talking with a woman is neat.
Who would have guessed that?
So our story begins with this young kid, Danny. I don't know. Maybe he's like 12. That seems like an age. And he's hanging out at this damn near abandoned movie theater on its last legs, skipping school like he likes to do, like this old man just lets him do. And he's watching a Jack Slater movie, who is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's the third one, and soon the fourth one is coming out. And the old man, who is like the camera operator, is like his only friend, invites him to come back at midnight to watch the test screening of the most the latest Jack Slater movie. So this is taking place in New York, you know, that grungy, gritty New York that's pre-Disney on Broadway, so you know, the shanky one.
Is that even real? I mean, I understand that New York had a lot of problems pre-Disney, pre-Giuliani cleaning things up and banishing all the homeless people to the Phantom Zone. But, I mean, like, they depict this as being so bad that you open your apartment door and you're immediately robbed in your building.
Yeah, it was super. I have more to say about that scene, everything's ridiculous. In the real world and fictional world, everything is clown shoes. But yeah, so he tries to sneak out at night, but he's immediately robbed, like you are. Still goes to the movie theater in the middle of the night after being robbed, to the dismay of his goddamn mother, and to this, like, old man who decides that it is perfectly fine to allow this young child to run the streets of New York at midnight, but let's not worry about that. Anyway, goes to the movie theater to have this midnight screening. The old man, his only friend, has a special ticket that he got from Houdini when he was just a wee boy. And it's supposed to be magic. Houdini got it from this guy, and this guy got it from that guy, and whatever. And now it is yours. And he tears it for him and lets him in. And turns out that fucking thing is magic. And for some reason, it basically pulls him into the movie. And now he's in the Jack Slater movie.
Zack Slater is basically just the fusion dance version of AC Slater and Zach Morris.
Oh my god, that person would be horribly unstoppable. That's terrifying. So he gets sucked into the movie, and all the like action movie cliches. There is a bad guy who ends up figuring out what's going on and gets a hold of the ticket, and he uses the ticket to get back into the real world, realizes that white men in suits can kill whoever they want and no one cares, and he takes advantage of that, and they have to go and save the world, and all that. Yeah. And also Jack Slater needs to, you know, work through his own, you know, trauma of losing his son, blah blah blah. So yeah, that's the movie.
I mean, the movie kind of says that he needs to do that. I don't think he does.
Yeah, but sure.
Yeah, this movie's not good at things like themes or any lessons learned. Anyway, yeah. So, like I said in the beginning, kind of the only thing about this movie that I liked was just Schwarzenegger, because I severely underestimated his charm and charisma as a leading man. Like I said, I basically have only watched him in Terminator movies for like the last 20 years. So like in Terminator movies, he talks like this, and then you just assume this is how he always is. But no, he's surprisingly good, considering that, I mean, like, this is a weird thing to talk about in 2022, because it's like, because Schwarzenegger's been around for so many decades. So why am I talking like this is something I'm finding the secret code of Schwarzenegger.
But I don't know. I feel like you're forgetting Jingle All the Way. And
I don't remember anything about Jingle All the Way except that I hated it. But
I have to say, in Total Recall, he is pretty charismatic. Total Recall is actually a pretty fun movie, as long as you're just like, it's going to be the 80s and we're going to have a good time.
It's just kind of interesting because like he's this bodybuilder who's just known for being a very successful bodybuilder, who they put in a movie where he plays Hercules and they dub him because he can't speak. And then just like less than 20 years later, I think, maybe even 20 years, but just like just a few short decades later, he's like this super charismatic movie star that even a hardened soul like myself, who actually kind of dislikes action movies, like pure action movies for the sake of pure action movies, couldn't help but feel pretty endeared to the performance, even though his character wasn't good, the script wasn't good, the movie wasn't good, but I still like Schwarzenegger in it. It's weird. It is weird. It is weird for me, a grown man, to come to this conclusion this late in the game when Schwarzenegger has already gone like full circle, has become a parody of himself when he actually does show up in movies. But
this reminds me of a Jim Gaffigan joke. Like when you see a movie really late and you want to talk about it, and he's like, "Hey, how do you guys see Heat?"
I had that exact situation with Arrested Development because I watched it way late, and all I wanted to do was make references to Buster losing his arm. It was like, I was tweeting about it. I was saying it in casual conversation. He's like, "I'm a monster." And it was like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, Arrested Development? Oh, yeah, Arrested Development. Yeah, that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, no one understands when I like no one cares anymore when I do the Christmas Peanuts sad walk away. I love doing that. No one cares.
For British eyes only.
Welcome to our Arrested Development podcast.
Arrested Development cast. But yeah. So what else did I like about this movie? You know what? I think I would have liked Danny's mom. We only see her in two scenes.
Yeah.
Three scenes, but two of them are like right next to each other.
Yeah, you don't see much of her, no.
Yeah, I like kind of stuff that she was starting to say. Like, she was like, she kind of seemed like an interesting character, although what must her life be like that she has to leave her young son alone at night to go to work? Like, there must be some... I don't want to just be judgmental and be like, oh, well, it was a bad mom. But, like, there must be some pretty dire straits.
The thing that gets me, because it's not even... it's not just that she, like, works nights or whatever, but the fact that, like, what is her job? That when her child gets, like, burgled and is at a police station, her boss is like, well, you can go there when your fucking shift is over. Like, that sucks. That it's like, that the cop is like, well, at the police precinct, it's like, okay, well, your mom wants you to go straight home after this, and she'll get back when her shift is done. And it's like, that is horrible.
I mean, that whole situation is weird, because why are the cops...
just letting him go? Once again, middle of the goddamn night, and everyone's just like, just enjoy the streets.
Best case scenario, they should have driven him home. Make sure he got home okay.
Yeah. Jeez.
I think...
defund the police. They're not checking for us.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the police are under no obligation to protect us, is what we've learned. I mean, ideally, they should have kept him at the station until, like, they put him in, like, a room to sleep in, and then, like, until the mom got off work. And then the mom should have, like, come from work, you know, like she should have come immediately to get him.
Yeah, it is really weird that they're just like, yeah, let's just have this, we'll just set this minder loose. Good luck getting home.
Do you think her mom's a stripper?
I thought she was like, in my mind, I just automatically thought she was like a server or something.
You know, I was thinking that too, but I'm wondering if that's just what she wants Danny to think.
Like, he helps her get her little tie on, and as soon as she gets out the door, it's off with the tie and on with the sequins.
I mean, I guess she could be a bartender or a server at a bar, but, like, even those don't typically... I don't know. How late do bars stay open in New York? I know
I think New York can be open, like, most of the night. I mean, even in Chicago, you have bars that close at like 4. So
yeah, but that was new to me. I had never heard of that until I moved to Chicago. So I don't know what other major cities do.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, New York would be another city that would have such things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. That's it. That's everything I liked about this movie.
You didn't like Charles Dance?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was mostly neutral on Charles Dance, mainly because he has nothing to work with.
That's fair.
I think he does pretty okay with what he has as Benedict. I don't know. It's weird because, like, he's the villain of Last Action Hero, but is he the villain of Jack Slater 4, or is he the henchman in Jack Slater 4, who just happens to be smarter than the actual villain? I'm not sure. It seems like I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and he's definitely credited as being the supporting antagonist as opposed to the antagonist. So I don't know, but he seems much more interesting than the actual villain, they say. So I don't know. Anyway, he's got a gimmick.
Yeah, I feel like in the Jack Slater movie, I feel like he was gonna be like more of a minor character within that, but his self awareness makes him the full villain of the main movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I feel like between like the supposed like, you know, bad guy boss and the betrayer police guy, I feel like those were supposed to be like the bigger villains of the Jack Slater movie.
Well, good for Benedict for rising above.
Yeah, climbing that ladder, as it were.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, in theory, I like the character, but the characters, I don't understand his motivation. Like, I understand almost everything he does within the movie until he discovers he can potentially go through other dimensions. Also, I'm not 100% certain why he comes to the conclusion that he can go to other dimensions.
Yeah.
As like, I know that Danny may have mentioned something about this being a movie, but I don't know how you go from dumb kids saying this in a movie, finding a magic ticket that lets you put your hand through your wall and go like, I can travel dimensions.
Yeah.
But I don't understand his motivation. I don't understand, like, he says, listen, I can go anywhere, steal anything. It's like, are you a thief? Seems like you're an assassin for money. Seems like you're more like, you could get anywhere and get anybody.
Something crime.
And then when he gets to the real world, the quote-unquote real world, where I'm sorry. I know that New York was really bad, but a lot of people get just straight up shot all over the place in there, and with no one noticing or caring. That's too many people. That's too many people died in the span of like two nights for me to accept that as being a realistic where there's just no response at all.
I gotta say though, that moment does have my favorite line of the movie. When he's like, hello, I just shot somebody and I did it on purpose. Like, that's just fun.
No, yeah, it is. But I'm just saying, it doesn't feel like the real world. It feels like the whatever world Demolition Man took place in the opening sequence, where like LA is just on fire.
Yeah, it really does just feel like, oh man, it turns out that in the real world, just being a white man, I can do whatever I want.
All right. So, what was I trying to say here? Yeah, his motivations. Like once he's in the real world, and he's like, oh, I can do anything. I can do whatever I want in this world. But I'm gonna bring in an army of movie villains to help me. And it's like, why? Like, I don't even understand why he felt he needed to bring in the guy from Jack Slayer 3, the Ripper.
The Ripper. And also, he makes all the statement about like bringing all these guys in, but you don't see any of them. Like it's not a thing. So it, like, it always bugs me when they have that kind of thing, where it's just like someone has a plan and like, okay, we're gonna be doing this, but it never actually happens. You're just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, he also is like, the people he name drops. It just doesn't seem like people you'd want to release. Like, he says, I think he says Dracula. And like, why would you bring Dracula? Dracula will eat you.
You think you're gonna be the leader of Dracula? like a monster team? That is kind of silly.
Well, I mean, this is written by Shane Black, who also wrote Monster Squad, so.
I'm gonna have to look this up. I don't even know what Monster Squad is.
That's fine. I don't really know either. Then he name drops Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna bring in Hitler. It's like, well, why would you want to bring in Hitler? Like, let's be generous and say that Benedict is happily evil. Like, he knows he's evil. He's glad about it. He wants to do evil things because he is from a movie where the rules are weird, right? Like, he's not a proper character. But even so, what benefit do you have for bringing a movie version of Adolf Hitler to help you commit crime?
Yeah, what is this conversation? Why is Hitler into this?
It's like there's a lot of questions. Like, first of all, what does Hitler bring to the table?
Yeah,
he was his main ability was to be very good at making native Germans very angry at specific people. So I'm not sure how he helps this guy commit crime.
I'm just, like, imagining that, like, Benedict, whatever other, like, villains he's acquired, they're all, like, trying to get their game plan together at the diner. And you just have, like, Hitler in the corner just like, you know it'd be good if he kills some Jews. Has anyone Has anyone thought about that? Because that's some Jews? Anyone? Killing Jews?
Ugh. It's weird. It's anyway, weird. I didn't mean to spend this much time talking about Benedict, but since we're talking about Benedict, I do want to point out that I do think Charles Dance is very good. I had no idea I was going to see him in this. A young, fresh-faced Charles Dance, who you are way more familiar with than I am, because you actually watched more Game of Thrones than I did.
I watched all of Game of Thrones. So if you don't remember, Charles Dance is Tywin Lannister. I kept waiting for, like, a scene at the mansion. He's, like, coming up with his plan, and he's, like, skinning a deer. Like, none of that happens, but whatever.
Favorite thing about him is when he tricks Slater at the end with a double bluff, where he's shooting his gun randomly, and then he seems like he runs out of bullets, and Slater comes from behind cover and is like, ah, you made the classic movie mistake. You have to reload in this world. And she's just like, oh, I know, Jack. I just had an empty chamber, and then shoots him in the chest.
Yeah. Although, also, that chest wound moves. He gets shot in the sternum, and then he has, like, a wound, like, under his pec later.
This is all bad. It's all bad. Okay, anyway, let's talk about the movie in general as opposed to just Benedict. This movie has a major problem. And the major problem is, you ever heard of the old saying, like, he who chases two rabbits gets neither?
Sure. Or variations of that kind of thing, sure.
Yeah. So, like, this movie tries to be a comedy, and it tries to be action, and it doesn't do either of them very well. And the movie suffers tremendously.
And not to mention a little bit of kid movie whimsy, like magical whimsy.
Oh yeah, add that into it. Yeah. And that's which is weird, because this movie feels like it should be a PG movie, but there's a heck of a lot of swearing, and a heck of a lot of Lees in skimpy outfits walking around. Oh, this is not really this is not really appropriate for that. Oh man, also like premature ejaculation jokes from Slater. Like, no, it's weird, but you have this kid protagonist who seems like he's basically the same type of protagonist that was be in like I forget the name of that movie. I can't say that reference. Okay. Ugh, God, it was like a movie with like these kangaroo guys in a fantasy world where they all knew martial arts.
What?
Okay, I'll try to look it up later and talk to you about it later. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to Google search martial art kangaroo man and see if it pops up. Martial art king. Warriors of Virtue.
Okay.
That is... by the way, the Google search, I typed in martial art kanga, and the thing that popped up was a martial art kangaroo movie, and then under that was Warriors of Virtue.
Oh man,
just a movie about a little kid who gets sucked into a fantasy world, and this one happens to have kangaroos who fight with martial arts skill or something. It seems like the same type of movie to me. Like, it seems like the exact same type, not the same type of movie, but the same type of protagonist. She's like the type of, you know, young boy falls into. This is isekai. It's an isekai movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the world he falls into is too adult for him. He's a 12-year-old in a PG-13 world, and it's a little too intense. But, you know, backing up, I don't think the movie is particularly funny, and I don't think the action is particularly good. I don't need the action to be good, but I don't need it to be a slapstick comedy, but there needed to be a better balance. It just felt like a kind of like a tonal change. And like the movie, like the Jack Slater 4 is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I think that the movie would actually have been better served if it was a little less over the top, but still like riddled with movie cliches that could be commented on.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's like, I get it. It's a parody. They're making fun of action movie tropes. I get it. But it's just like, you just want it to be done better? Like, I don't know.
What's the action movie trope where the police station team like pairs up random cops with the digital version of Humphrey Bogart?
Oh, yeah, that was confusing to me. Is it that this police station has every fictional cop? Is that what it's supposed to be? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either. Why is Danny DeVito a cartoon cat in
yeah.
this?
Oh, as soon as he, I was like, okay, we're just having fun now. We gotta, made me want to watch Hercules.
Do you really expect me to believe, look, I know this is a parody, but we spend enough time in the real world to understand that this is supposed to be an action film franchise that's popular, right? What action film franchise has a cartoon sidekick in it? Like, Lethal Weapon didn't introduce, like, a cartoon cat to help the two guys, like, fight crime, right? Chris Rock did not play a cartoon dragon in Lethal Weapon 4, all right?
I mean, as much as they pushed that, just didn't quite get there.
It just seems very strange to me. I mean, it's there because it's funny. It's there because it's silly. And I just thought it was stupid. It just seemed dumb.
I recently watched The Other Guys for the first time. You know that movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. With Mark Wahlberg and
Will Ferrell. And,
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, and which is also a movie that, you know, makes fun of, like, cop movie tropes. And so I think maybe part of it is this, like, I just watched something making fun of this stuff. That has more, like, actual laughs. Like, you actually have fun with it quite a bit more.
So, yeah, I love how the police chief, no matter, like, when he's getting mad at them for stuff, always seems to work in TLC references.
Or when you have, like, you know, the two popular, you know, cop duo just jump off a roof to their death. And it's very funny. But, yeah, so it's just like, I don't know, maybe because that stuff is more fresh in my mind.
And so, I don't think it's just that it's fresh. I think it's legit. I haven't seen it in a couple of years. But I think that movie is considerably better at what this movie is kind of trying to do with Jack Slayer 4.
Yeah.
For sure. I also kind of just am almost offended by how little there is in terms of arc and kind of point to everything. Like, what I mean by that is that you kind of mentioned how, you know, Slayer's got to kind of get over, like, the trauma from his son. I mean, he doesn't. The movie at some point touches on that. Doesn't really dive in deep, but as soon as he finds out he's a fictional character, that is the only thing that matters. Like, he comes to grips with being a fictional character, which I thought was kind of a weird way of ending it, where instead of going back to his world and maybe reconfiguring his life, he's just like, I'm going to punch this glass door because I can.
Yeah, it is.
We're in the movie, so you're just a comic relief character.
Yeah, it is weird that, like, after all that, his takeaway is that it doesn't matter if the sergeant guy yells at him. He's like, you can't walk all over me. And I was like, is that the point?
Yeah, you know what made a little bit more sense? And he kind of touches on this a little bit when he's in the real world. It's like, all the things that he's done has been for the entertainment of somebody writing his world. All the terrible shit that's happened to him, all the terrible things that he's done was at the behest of other folks because he's a fictional make-believe character. And maybe you think if he goes back to his world, maybe he's like, well, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what the Hollywood act, what the Hollywood writers want me to do.
And very good.
Maybe he's like, I'm going to become a farmer.
He does mention it. That's just Schwarzenegger going back to his country roots. Well, country boy.
Oh, I would have, one joke I wish they had made, they didn't make, is that, like, really wish someone would have, like, Danny would have brought up, like, his accent and claim that he's a foreigner. Like, no, I'm born in Kansas.
Right.
It's like, well, you're clearly from, like, Austria, right? With that accent. This is the Midwestern accent.
Austria, Iowa.
I think that we see a little bit of DNA from the original script, because I think it touches on this sort of thing, but just never goes anywhere with it. And I think we, as the audience, greatly miss out on whatever conversation he had with Danny's mom. Because I think something happened with him, between him and Danny's mom, that kind of changed his view on certain things. We do not see that conversation. And he has this weird thing that he says about Danny's mom as he and Danny are parting ways.
Yeah, because he's all like, take care of your mom for me. And he kind of pauses. And I was half expecting to say, like, because she's most likely pregnant now. Sorry. Back to the movie.
I crossed the dimensional planes to give your mom my seed.
I couldn't help it. I boinked her. And then he goes back to his world.
Yeah, but I kind of took that as being like, did something happen between? Like, yeah, like, did something happen? Like, maybe not even like that, but maybe like he got a connection with her. But there was some lines that he said during like that initial meeting that kind of made it sound like he kind of enjoyed his time with her. Mm-hmm. And you know what I really was thinking? The ending of this movie should have 100% been that Danny and his mom just moved to Jack Slater 4. Just move into his world. Because their life sucks.
Oh, that's true. Nothing about his life, their life, has been improved at all from this interaction. Like, really, nothing gets better.
Yeah. Like, they imply he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have any friends. His only friend is a fictional character who... it actually might be hard to ever see him again, honestly. I mean, like, I don't even know. Because I don't know how the magic works. If he goes into Jack Slayer 4, does he go into where he left off and meet up with the guy who he knows? Or does he go into a new version of Jack Slayer 4 where Jack Slayer has not met him at all?
It's kind of weird because it, like, I mean, this is, like, poor writing. So I'm sure, like, it's just, like, not consistent. But it seems like one of their ideas maybe had been that it only works... like once per person, because that's kind of what it reads. Because like he tries to use it again and it doesn't work, and then Benedict can use it, and then we don't actually see Benedict use it again, even though they talk about him using it, but he doesn't. And then it falls by the other movie theater, and Death gets out, which just looks... it's... I have never seen the movie that they're talking about, but it was very fun watching Ian McKellen walk down the street. It just looks like Ian McKellen in a mood. But you have that, and then when he tries to use it again to get him back in, and it doesn't work until he has Slater touch it, and then it works again. And so it almost feels like they were thinking about making it kind of one use per person, but it's like... but then they also say it's just inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know, but my point is, you know, he doesn't make any friends. He doesn't learn the value of being
of, like, around other people and, well, writing your own story and not getting caught up in fake stories.
Yeah, he doesn't learn that. He doesn't like become a better son. Mm-hmm. It's not like he learned a lesson about skipping school and going out to movies all night.
Yeah, I kept thinking like, mom, get this kid in some kind of after school activity. Jesus, make him do a sport. Fuck, like, this is just... give him something to do.
No, there's a lot. It's just I don't know. I feel like the true ending of this would have been like, at some point Jack and Danny's mom get a connection, and they hit it off, and then at the climax of the film, like, the mom is with them, like, through that, like, that in that climax, and then he's like, well, I have to go back to my world so I don't bleed out. Do you want to come? Come with me if you want to live.
And it's like, that's another quote from you.
Come with me if I want to live, because I do. Yeah. And then the mom's like, fuck it. You know what? I don't have, like, what am I going to do? I'm done. I don't like stripping. Let's just go. Let's just go. And then Jack gets a second chance to be a father. Well, he already has a daughter, but Danny
becomes his replacement son. That weird relationship.
Yeah, God. He finds a love interest that he met in the real world, so their connection is actually genuine as opposed to any lady that he would have met in his world. And Danny and Danny's mom get to have a significantly better life and a much more fun and safer version of reality than the nightmarish version of New York City that they live in.
I wonder if it's even ever mentioned in the other Slater movies that he has a daughter, because this seems like the kind of thing where, like, it's a new movie and the son is dead, so they just, like, write in a daughter. Because I know it's, like, the actress's first movie, so she hasn't been in the others. And so it makes me wonder, like, is there any thought of, like, you considering, like, oh, wait, I don't actually have any memories of this girl who is supposed to be my daughter.
I remember when I was bouncing you up on my knee when you were a child. Wait, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Everything is a lie. No, it's... I don't know. There's like, I don't know. There's so many weird things attached here. This is poorly written out stuff. And if there wasn't if so much of the movie wasn't dedicated to being in the quote unquote real world, I think I could get away with ignoring so much of these plot holes. Like, I'm not going to complain about the logic of dumping a corpse full of nerve gas into a tar pit, you know?
Yeah.
Nor am I going to ask how come Slater and Danny both survive a point-blank explosion that was big enough to blow up an entire building.
Right.
And just be a little dusty.
Yeah, that's just classic movie magic.
Yeah, but I don't know. This other stuff is just kind of like, I don't know. I wanted this movie to tell me something, or I wanted the characters to learn or grow, and it does none of that stuff. And there's no reason it couldn't. Just because it's a satire or parody of something does not mean it couldn't actually still have something to say.
Yeah, you could have development. Sure.
Yeah, movie makes the actor decision to not do it. Also, I don't understand why death is brought, comes out. I don't even understand how that works, but somehow the magic ticket allows death from, hold on. Let me actually make sure I get the name of this movie right.
It's like the seventh seal, right?
Seventh seal.
Which, yeah. I've been told to watch, but to be warned, it's very contemplative. So I probably will watch it no time soon, because I am not in the mood for a contemplative movie.
Okay. Well, like, you know, death emerges and then decides to go visit Jack Slater. And he says that Slater doesn't appear on any of his lists. So he was curious. But here's my thing. Why does this fictional version of death have anyone's list? And why does he have the goddamn nerve to say, I don't do fictional characters?
It's so...
You are a fictional character.
It's so weird. Shouldn't your list be of only people in your own goddamn movie? Like, you're not... It is... What a weird addition. Like, yeah. What draft of this movie did they add that in? It's so random. It's like, and now here's Death from the Seventh Seal, I guess... And he's walking around, I guess now he's just death in this world, and he feels totally fine with that. He doesn't miss a fucking beat about being in this world.
No.
It's so weird.
And, like, you know, there's a couple of bad, like, lingering plot holes there. Like, that's one. Another one is that ticket is just still there in front of that theater, and apparently can just randomly pull out people. How many movie characters have come out since that ticket's been there, and no one's gonna pick up a random ticket, no one, like, especially in this hell New York. Yeah. So that thing's probably there for a while.
Yeah, that by this point that ticket is covered in herpes. No one's touching it.
Jurassic Park came out the week before this, so the dinosaurs are real now. No, it's weird. His only purpose is to tell Danny to go find the other half of the ticket that was torn, and it's like, who are you, fucking Silent Bob? Like, played no role in the movie until, like, the very end, where you give the main character, like, the information they need to get to the climax.
Did Peter Jackson watch this movie and go, that's my Gandalf, I know it now, I see it, I'm gonna hire him?
Oh man, poor Christopher Lee. I've played Dracula how many times, and I wasn't even considered.
He could have been the Dracula he got out.
He could have been the Dracula. Oh my god. Oh my god, this movie could have been like Ian McKellen and Christopher Lee hanging out together years before your Lord of the Rings. That would have been amazing.
Missed goddamn opportunities.
Ugh. Oh god. This scene with Death did need to be in this movie. Like, in fact, it would have been better for Danny to remember on his own. Or even the creepy projectionist who should go to jail, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my god. Like, I mean, no one's mad at this guy. Like, it is kind of like, the fact that, like, okay, his, like, Danny's mom is mad at him for, like, skipping school, blah, 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 doing these things. But, like, does she know at all about Nick? There is, like, no accountability for him. Just, like, because, I mean, the kid keeps coming back because he lets him in and all this stuff to the point where he doesn't even care that this kid is running around in the middle of the night in the city. Like, no one seems to care about that or to think that it's at all wrong of him to allow. Like, it's crazy.
Just to get it out of my head while I'm thinking about it, the whole Harry Houdini connection pisses me off quite a bit.
Yep.
Because, like, this happens way too often in fiction. Yeah. But often in fiction, Harry Houdini will be mentioned or sometimes even shown, and they depict him as being a fucking wizard or something.
Yeah.
Like, dude was a goddamn illusionist and escape artist. Like, he didn't, like summon the ethereal forces of the earth in order to create dazzling displays that bend reality to its whim.
He spent a good amount of his life debunking supernatural claims. Like, it's just, Like, all the, like, spiritual people talking about bringing, like, spirits back from the dead. He used to debunk that shit all the time. Because they kept lying, saying that they could bring back his sweet dead mother. Lies. Deception.
It's just weird. Like, I don't understand the depiction of that they do. They do that all the time. Or they did do that all the time. It's almost as bad as, like, Tesla being depicted as a fucking wizard. Which happens way more often than you think. I remember feeling that there was, like, some scenes that didn't need to be there. Oh, but there also feels like there's some missing scenes. Like, going back to the projectionist, Nick, for the bulk of the film, when he's in the scene, there's no mention of anything with the theater. It's just, like, he seems to own the theater. He lets Danny go there where he wants. There's clearly homeless people who sleep there. I mean, like, you could say maybe it's not doing well because there weren't a lot of people where Danny was watching the film, but it was also, like, clearly, like 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not sure how many...
My golden hour when it comes to going to see movies.
It is, but that movie had obviously been on for 2 hours, so it's been open since, like, 2. Or, since, like, 8 o'clock, which is definitely not a time where movies are usually going to be open. But then, when Slater shows up, he mentions completely offhandedly, that he's actually losing the theater.
Yeah, that it's closing.
Not only was that not mentioned before that, it's not mentioned after it
either. I believe there's actually a sign outside of the door about, like, a new theater. So I think it's...
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I think it's a small moment, but I believe that there's, like, a sign for, like, the new blah, blah, blah. So I think it's supposed to be, like, torn down and then built into this, like, new theater.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just may have missed that. So that's a little better, although I kind of wish that they had mentioned it in conversation.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to miss this place when it's gone. Yeah, you and me both, kid.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's also no resolution to that. In fact, he's probably up a creek a little bit because Danny crashed an ambulance through the front door.
Yeah, it is interesting because he definitely doesn't mention it as something that he owns. He basically only goes as far as going, like, when I first came here, I was just an usher, and then I became the camera operator, and he kind of leaves it at that. Like,
yeah.
I guess I just assumed
he owned it because we don't see anyone else working there except for the popcorn guy who looks pretty high.
Yeah, but then again, would we see the person who owned the theater anyway? Like,
I mean, like, not necessarily, but I would have put him in there if I was going to have a plot point of the theater going away.
Yeah,
and maybe tie the theater being saved somehow into the ending of the film to give some sort of sense of resolution and accomplishment in the film, of which we don't have anything.
Yeah.
Nothing was gained or lost due to this film. No lessons were learned. The only thing that we learned is that Houdini is a fucking wizard. He's a sorceress. He's a sorcerer of immense power.
Although, I mean, once again, Houdini got that ticket from someone else. So he's just a guy on the path to greatness. He is not the greatness.
Let's just assume that the original holder of that ticket was Jesus Christ. Through with all things are possible.
Oh, Yahweh.
Oh, I know. I will say that I think that the Hamlet scene was unnecessary. It's kind of a... We could have had any number of conversations or action scenes taking up the 3 minutes that scene takes, or however long.
Yeah, is that kind of like, well, if you can allow Mel Gibson to do it, why not Arnold Schwarzenegger? Also, I disagree with the teacher about, like, Hamlet being... essentially like Shakespeare's action hero. If I had to pick someone that like Shakespeare depicts as kind of an action hero, I'd probably say Henry V, not fucking Hamlet.
Oh yeah, and I've never liked Hamlet. I always thought Hamlet was too wishy washy. Yeah. He's like, he absolutely spends most of that play debating with himself over whether or not he should kill the dude, and I never forgave him for not killing the dude when he was all alone in church praying, because he's all like, oh, if I kill him now, he'll go straight to heaven. And I'm like, maybe just kill him just anyway.
Yeah, you know? Like, let's not worry about these things. Why don't you go ahead and worry about your here and now? Yeah. He's just busy being whiny and mean to his girlfriend. We don't need that. He's not a good action hero.
He's not a good hero.
At all.
In general, yeah. he's very, I do not care for Hamlet. I think they may have, I can't remember if they did. I feel like they argued that he was actually not wishy-washy. He actually was, like, you know, determined in that sequence. And I remember thinking, like, no, he's not.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think he actually remembered anything about Hamlet, person who was writing this. Also, one time I was auditioning, like, years and years ago, I was auditioning for a production of Hamlet. And there was a guy who auditioned who I don't think really did Shakespeare that much, but like I remember seeing him doing cold reads, and he would do a perfectly normal like accent. He was just being himself, and then he did the scene and read for Hamlet, and he just adapted a horrible like. And now I'm doing Hamlet, and he like developed this like weird like Shakespeare accent. It was like, dude, what is happening? Why would you do this? You were normal a second ago, but now you've decided that I got a Hamlet voice? Jesus Christ. I have never seen someone. It felt like a movie making fun of someone auditioning for Hamlet. Like, it was crazy.
Anything else about the movie in general that struck your fancy? Because I feel like I'll just start rambling and ranting and not full sentences if I keep going.
Oh, actually, did you see... You probably didn't get a chance to watch this. The show on Netflix, Murderville, that has like Will Arnett.
Oh, no, I didn't get around to it.
So like the premise of that, for those who haven't seen it, is it's kind of an improv murder mystery situation. Will Arnett is the like main character, and then guest stars will be brought in to like be his partner, and they have to solve a crime, but like the actor who's brought in doesn't know like the plot of things, and so like everyone, all the actors who are involved know it, and they're just kind of improvising together, and like the actor guest has to kind of improv with these people without like knowing where things are going. And they're at the beginning of every episode, there's a moment when Sarge was like, you got a new partner. And like, Will Arnett does this whole thing like, no, not again. Not another partner. Boss, you can't do this to me. And the scene where like the sergeant or whatever in Last Action Hero makes Jack take on Danny as a partner, all I can think of was Murderville and just Will Arnett being like, come on, Sarge. I don't need another partner. It is pretty funny. If you ever get a chance to watch like one, I would suggest that you watch the episode. I think it's the first episode with Conan O'Brien. It's the best one. You should watch at least that one.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
If you have time. Yeah. But like if you have a chance to watch only one, the Conan O'Brien one.
All right. Should we move over to characters such as it is?
Yeah.
We kind of talked a lot about characters when we were discussing the movie. So, you know, Schwarzenegger plays Jack Slater and himself. I do like that he allowed himself to get, you know, poked fun at it a bit.
Yeah. It's like,
in this.
Don't mention the restaurant or the gyms. It's insufferable. And the fact that
It's good blood. No, I can't do it. Can't do it anymore. I lost it. That's not like Cookie Monster now.
Cookie Monster like Planet Hollywood.
What's your jump phrase? How do you tap back in?
I don't know.
But like, yeah, the whole thing about like we only killed 48 people in this movie. In the last movie was like 126 people that we killed, and so, you know, but we make up for it in content.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have much more to say. Jack Slater is such a nothing character by design. Yeah. So it's, I don't think that I kind of imply this. I feel like the movie could have taken a bit more, bit farther of him being more introspective once he finds out the truth about himself.
Yeah, more moments of ennui, kind of discovering your mortality, like all the things that happen. Like there's like a little bit of talk about like, oh, I actually hurt my hand on punching that window. But like, yeah, I definitely think that there should be more existential sadness with all of this with him.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like there might have been a version of this film where he and Danny's mom get together, and I think that some of the stuff could have come through there. But yeah, doesn't happen. Austin O'Brien plays Danny. Danny is one of the worst protagonists we've ever had, and we're looking at something in the show. He's not even like a bad child actor. Like he's not good, but like we've seen way worse. Yeah. But God, Danny just pisses me off. Like okay, rule number one about finding yourself trapped in a movie or any fictional world where you know you're trapped in there. No one's going to believe you when you tell them that situation. So you need to like orient yourself and then just play along. Use your knowledge to help, but don't keep trying to convince people that their world is fake. First of all, it's cruel.
Yeah.
Second of all, do you know that you're not trapped there? Perhaps it's best to not downplay your possible new existence if you're actually going to be trapped there forever.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like, how does he be he's supposed to be this big movie junkie who knows like all the tricks and trades and stuff, but he's constantly breaking his own movie rules, you know? It's like, oh God, like when he tries to play chicken with that car and then like halfway through it, he's like, oh, this is actually going to get me killed because I'm not the hero. It's like, why'd you even do it in the beginning with? Because you're a stupid kid. Now, never mind the fact that I don't understand what is wrong with this kid and why he's doing all the dumb stuff in the real world he's doing. Why is he skipping school? We don't actually hear. We don't hear about, like, I guess like its implication is that he's having a hard time with his father's death, but we spend so little time on that. We don't know the circumstances. We don't know how long ago it was.
Exactly. And also, like, I noticed that he has like, bloody knuckles. Like, if you notice, like, his hand at the beginning of the movie, like, he has, like, bloody knuckles, like, a kind of a bloody nail bed, like it, which I am assuming implies some kind of hard something, maybe a fight or something like that. But like, there is no mention of what's going on with his hand and like in if what that is implying.
Probably something got deleted, possibly because Siskel and Ebert said the movie was too long.
Yeah, it really bugged me because I felt like it was a very just like unsettling thing, the state of his hand and the fact that it was like oddly bloody and like not at all mentioned. Yeah. Also, that reminds me, the guy who like breaks into his apartment and then gets mad that they don't have anything. Motherfucker, you saw the building. You saw how poor that shit was. If you want to find an apartment with things, go to a nice apartment. What the fuck do you think this is? Like, it's ridiculous.
No, it's because that this version of New York is a psychotic hell version of New York that is in no way reminiscent of the real world. It is, take all the bad things you hear about New York and then just kind of raise up the... If this New York is so bad, why the fuck are they having a movie premiere in it?
I don't think...
I know it's not the same neighborhood, yeah. But still.
Like
it just feels like every time we ever see any place in New York in this movie, it just seems like it is a war zone.
Yeah.
Just Do the LA premiere, man. Just do the LA premiere.
Steal his shoes. Steal his shoes?
Which, yeah, I know that is based off of reality in the sense of, like, people jacking people for the Jordans.
Yeah. It's just...
That felt a little more cavalier in here. Anyway, I don't like Danny. He's a very annoying kid sidekick, and it's a movie that should have been aware of this archetype being annoying. And instead of like making it ironic or doing something to kind of fix the problems with it, it just kind of doubles down on it. And that might be like the biggest like middle finger this movie could have given to me. It's like it doesn't understand what it's trying to do because it has an annoying kid sidekick with zero irony.
Yeah. It's almost like they don't see that there is a problem with Danny, or they just like don't really care. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, we already talked a lot about Charles Dance, so we don't really need to talk too much about anything unless you have something else that you have.
I just was hoping that explosive eyeball that said vengeance is mine. I just wanted to say that he always pays his debts and just, you know.
Let's see. This is a Benedict always click pays his debts.
Yeah.
I'll just mention her because we've talked about her a couple of times. We didn't actually say her name, but Mercedes Ruel. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but she plays Day's mother's name is maybe Irene.
I don't know.
Ruel. Maybe Ruel. I'm not 100% sure. I apologize if I've butchered it. Actually in her early 40s when this was filmed. So looking pretty good.
Keep it tight.
Yeah. We talked about the projectionist, Robert Prosky. Nothing much to talk about other than just reiterating that he's a terrible adult.
Yep.
Letting that kid run wild in his place. Like, what? God. That guy, he needs to go to jail.
My only note under his name is, why are you inviting this kid over at midnight?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, Whitney Slater.
Yeah.
Who's played by Bridget Wilson, who I'm not going to lie and tell you that I'm a big fan and knowledgeable about, you know, her career, but she has been in one movie that is particularly important to me, that is Mortal Kombat, as she played Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat just a few years after this.
Oh, is that what I recognize her face from? Or maybe she's been in other stuff. Because I remember thinking that she looked familiar, and I just realized that I did not bother looking her up.
She is, you know, I can't say she's good in this movie because it's just the way this movie works, and that the characters in Jack Slater 4 are paper thin. Nice to see her in there. Although I find it interesting that, unlike almost every other actor who has a role in Jack Slater 4, her character is played by another fictional character as opposed to being played by Bridget Wilson. She's played by Meredith Caprice. So I'm not 100% certain why that is. She's obviously not famous. This is an early role for her. She's actually quite young at this time. Yeah, she's only 48 now, so she would have been like
pretty
late teens when this movie was filmed.
Which is a bummer. That it's actually, I'm sad to hear that.
Fair. But yeah, I'm not sure what the decision there is other than like she's not famous, so there's no point in they had introducing, but this also wasn't her first movie, so I don't know. I mean, there's other characters in here.
Well, not before we go away from her, because like,
oh yeah, sure.
What a bummer. Like, she falls, like, she has to be the basic, like, representative of that classic female character in a action movie who is just kind of there to look sexy, which I always hate it when they have this, when it's also, like, the action guy's daughter, because, like, she's being sexualized, and also, the first thing that happens is, like, she kisses Danny, and then, like, she's in a robe, and he picks her up and puts her and it puts her on his shoulder, and she's screaming, and it's so weird. And, like, because the first thing he calls her is, like, his little girl, and it's just...
That's my little girl.
And, like, it's just, like, it's so fucking gross. Like, I don't like it. It's weird. Ugh. And then her little fight where she, like, you know, Benedict and, like, the crew, they come into the house to do some damage. And one guy is, I can't remember, he's, like, trying to tie her up or something. And, like, he hits her, and then she, like, she's screaming, but then she, like, turns out she knows how to fight. And she's fighting back, and then she beats him, but, like, she's, like, screaming the whole time. And I hated, like, that whole thing. I mean, was, drove me nuts.
No, I definitely hated that she was screaming, but I assume, especially by her facial expressions, that she was screaming that way so that the bad guys in the hall would think that he was, you know, beating her off so they wouldn't think to come in.
Is that what that was supposed to be?
I think that's what that was supposed to be. I think she was trying to trick, to, like, you know, keep up the appearances of, like, damsel in distress so that when they hear a bunch of noise happening of a body being thrown around and her screaming, they'd be like, oh, he's really giving it to her, I think is what she was trying to do.
Okay, that's better. I did not read it like that. But
I mean, I was judging by her facial expressions and the fact that she had, like, this kind of, like, oh, you're in for it now look when she decides to fight back.
Yeah, I get that part. It was weird. I'll take that for that then.
Interestingly, I think that if Danny had not been there, I think that she might have been Slater's sidekick for most of Jack Slater 4. Like, I think she might have ended up being the one that who was going with him on the adventure. So if I were her, I'd be kind of pissed. Any other character that you want to touch on? Because there's not really a ton of people to really talk about here. There's some cool cameos.
Well, I mean, like, first we got, like, F. Murray Abraham, who I enjoy. Still working hard today. I enjoy him in Mystic Quest. Is that right? Mythic? No. Yeah, wait.
We would have seen him very recently as the voice of Khonshu.
Yeah, that too. I was getting to that, but I was... Oh, okay. I just couldn't remember if I was saying the name of the show right. Isn't it Mythic?
Mythic Quest.
Mythic Quest. Is it Mystic Quest?
Nope, it is definitely Mythic Quest. Because I'm looking right at
that. Gotcha. Okay, so him in person.
Mystic Quest is a video game series.
Because that's what they're like making.
A real life
that's
one.
That's what they're making fun of. All right, but, like, okay, him in Mythic Quest. And then, yes, him as Khonshu in Moon Knight. So, like, yeah, he's still getting that cheddar. Yeah. Getting that Apple and Disney money.
Still working at 82.
You do it.
He's kind of pointless here. Like his character, like, he, like, a guy with his filmography, looking at that, and you see, like, what a presence that he has in all these different movies, doesn't really bring any of that here. That's not what this movie's about. It seems like you could have got away with getting a much less decorated actor.
Yeah, maybe he made a bad purchase that year, and he needed to make up some money.
Though, I do like the joke that Danny says you can't trust him.
He killed Mozart.
He killed Mozart because he plays Salieri in Amadeus.
Yeah. Maybe it seems like he is just there just for that joke, but yeah.
Yeah, that's probably is true.
Oh, there was one thing that I remember thinking was a funny moment, since, you know, there's so many things about this that is not great. But when Jack and Danny break into the mansion, like, the second time after Vivaldi is dead, and they catch Benedict for a second, and he's like, here's for, you know, killing my favorite second cousin, and he, like, hits him, and he's like, here's for destroying my ex-wife's house, and he just, like, slaps him on the hand.
Yeah. And,
like, that gave me a giggle. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, this movie isn't, like, wall-to-wall bad or anything like that.
But I was just like, I just wanted to throw it out, considering that I have been spending a lot of time ranting about things I didn't like. So just wanted to throw out a positive moment.
Okay. I'd like to wrap things up pretty soon. So is there anything else you want to chat about, either characters or any other last minute issues about the film?
I felt very aware that a young white boy can just like run around with a gun and nothing happens to him in the fictional,
yeah, no matter
in the fictional or real world. And yeah, I gotta say, hurt my spirit. Just hurting my spirit. So
also a surprising lack of black people in both worlds.
Yeah, isn't it like, well, it's like the sergeant guy and that one cop who was so close to retirement.
Yeah. I mean, like, even in like New York, there's surprisingly not as many black people as you think, even in the background.
Yeah. Oh, and also they had to make sure that they incorporated the racist stereotype of the Asian driver.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And they even had racist music in the background with his entrance.
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay. I wish that there had been anything more to that scene where Slater hears classical music apparently for the first time, implying it doesn't exist in his world, and think, I guess I do like it. I wish there was anything more to that than just that one scene, because that would have been an interesting aspect. It was like just like, does he bring classical music back with him to his reality? Is that why they don't know who Mozart is? Because Mozart just doesn't exist.
Yeah,
in their world.
Because they definitely, when he you know makes the reference about Mozart, he doesn't know. And then when Jack makes the reference to practice, aka F. Murray Abraham, he doesn't know. So yeah, I guess it does kind of seem like they don't know classical music at all. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish that there was more to it. It's literally just like three lines of dialogue, and then that's all we have.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Anyway, okay, cool. So Ariel, what would you give Last Action Hero? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or a thumb somewhere in the middle?
Probably thumbs down. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like a great time. I wasn't really feeling it.
So thumbs down for me. I hate this movie. Oh, it was a slog to get through. Maybe not the worst slog of anything that we've watched, but it did take me 2 days. And I did. And also, I'll point out, I watched half of this movie on my cell phone, so that might have also hindered things a little bit.
No wonder you couldn't see the sign.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why. That's exactly probably why, because that's my new thing now. I now try to watch stuff for the podcast on my cell phone while Kieran, my son, is sleeping in my arms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. The bottom line, this movie, it's just bad. It seems like there was something here. Something that was potentially much better, and it zigs when it should have zagged on every conceivable level. And I feel like we're missing scenes. I feel not like both scenes that may have been cut out in the filming and then scenes that seem to be missing from the script. Mm. And it's very frustrating to try to watch something like this. And, you know, Schwarzenegger is very charismatic. He's not charismatic enough for me to like this film. And it's a bummer because of how much I love this movie. There's only one other action film from my childhood that I loved anywhere close to this. And I'm scared. Because that's a movie that we're going to have to watch at some point in the future. It's Demolition Man.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I want to say, if you want to see a good action movie spoof, go watch Demolition Man. But what if that's bad too?
Yeah, that was technically my first rated R movie. Although I don't know if the version I actually watched was like the rated R version, because like
it was.
Okay, well, good.
It then for sure was.
Then I can still hold that mantle, because you know I was like rated R movie.
So next week, we're not doing Demolition Man. We are, in fact, doing Waterboy, the only Adam Sandler movie that I think is universally enjoyed by our household.
I suppose. I don't, yeah. And definitely the one that Did we own any other? Like, I know, like, I had watched other Adam Sandler movies, but did we own any others besides Waterboy?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like the only one we would have been Big Daddy, but I don't think we did.
Yeah, I feel like
we didn't.
I feel like I just like.
Oh no, I think we might have owned Happy Gilmore somewhere.
But yeah, I feel like those were like the three that we watched the most. Although I had seen Billy Madison, but I know we didn't own that.
No, we didn't own that. I've only seen that movie once. This is. I mean, like, my memory of Waterboy makes it my favorite Adam Sandler movie. Now, is that going to stay true when we watch this for next time? I'm not sure. I'm hoping it does. But just from my memory, you know, I am kind of wondering, like, is this offensive?
Yeah.
Could this actually be an offensive movie?
Yeah, that is what I am wondering. So, I guess we will find out.
All I know is that when I watched that movie, I came to the conclusion that his character in that film was, in fact, not dumb at all, but just wasn't very good at talking. Mm. And had a very bad upbringing that made it so that he wasn't very knowledgeable about things. He definitely passed his GED test where no one else in that football team would have been able to. But we'll see. All right, so we're going to be heading out. But, you know, as always, feel free to send us those emails at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com. Send us those tweets at adultversus. And check out our Facebook page under Adult Siblings Versus. Our theme song is Sell Out by Zombie Apocalypse Now from the EP Forbidden Tales of Science. You can find that and more at antizombierock.bandcamp.com. So we're going to hit that old dusty trail. But before we go, Ariel, if you had the magic ticket, what movie would you want to go into?
It's like, I really got very contemplated about that. I was trying to think of a joke, but then I got really, it got real serious real fast. I was hoping you were going to ask me what I was going to write on my glass eye.
So what are you going to write on your glass eye?
D's, turn it, nuts, and then it blows up.
Okay. Well, let's go fit you for a glass eye. So you can live out that dream.
Then they find it in the house and they're like, what is this? And they're like, D's nuts? Explosion.
Well, I'm not sure where one buys exploding glass eyes with customizable text on them, but we'll go on Google.
See if we can find a
local shop. We're in Chicago. We can find it here. But while we go do that, until next time, as always, please do not put a dirty sock in your wrestling mouth.
Yeah.